This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. C-Notes coming up in 20 minutes. Did we get an apology to Dak Prescott? That's one of the questions that's out there. He definitely deserves at least one, maybe two, for my count. It's time now, though, for the NFL News of the Day. Here's Wolchuk.
All right, big payday for Chuba Hubbard in Carolina. Congratulations to him as he signed a four-year extension. It's worth $33 million, max value of $37.2 million, and $15 million in fully guaranteed doll hairs. So pretty damn impressive there for Chuba. Now, Bobby did call this a few weeks ago. He said, hey, I think Chuba's going to sign for like $8 to $10 million. I'm like, damn, Bobby, you really think Chuba's going to get that much money? Like, he's been good, but he gets on the open market. You think he's going to be valued that high? He got it. He nailed it. He was on it. And a move that I found a little puzzling from Carolina, considering they did just draft Jonathan Brooks in the second
round.
It's
a 1-2 punch.
But it is a damn 1-2 punch. And we're going to focus on the damn running game here. So I hope this works out for him. But congratulations to Chuba Hubbard. Four-year contract extension going to run through 2028. Running backs are starting to get paid. And you look at the long list, like for a change, it was you paid a running back, and all of a sudden these guys stunk. But the list of guys that have gotten paid recently, they are performing. It's not like they just dropped off. When you look at Barkley and Henry, McCaffrey, Josh Jacobs got $12 million a year. He's having a good season. Joe Mixon, David Montgomery. I guess Ramondre Stevenson would be the one that you look at and you're like, ooh, that one's still not really looking too good.
And, I mean, Carolina paid, Miles Sanders and... I don't know.
Yes,
I don't know how much they paid him, but
that
hasn't really worked out for him.
Specifically, just like from this free agency on.
Yes, no.
But so far, like...
Backs are on a good run right now.
They are. And that could change, but right now, it seems like the running backs that have been paid, they're definitely making those teams look very, very good for doing so right now. So congratulations to Chuba. Now, Monday Night Football, Bill Belichick jumped on the Manning cast. He's talking about a former Cowboy corner. And again, I mean, we advocate all the time for Darren Woodson. He needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill Belichick speaking very, very highly of former Cowboy great Everson Walls. And this is what he had to say about Everson.
You know, one of the best ones I ever had was Everson Walls. And Everson Walls, you know, came out of Grambling, ran 4.7, played for the Cowboys. And when I got him at the Giants... he was the most unorthodox corner I've ever coached. Still, I've never seen anybody play like he does. And, you know, he had 57 career receptions. He had a great career. Thought he should be in the Hall of Fame. And I told Everson when we got on, I said, look, Everson, I'm never going to tell anybody to cover the way you do it. I don't know how you do it, but I don't believe in it. Great job. There's Kelsey pulling up on that set flag route again. But I told Walls, I'm never going to tell anybody to do it the way you do it. But I'm going to let you do it your way because you're still successful with it. So, you know, I let Walls play it his way, and he did it his way. He was really successful. Walls is a great kid. You know, he donated his kidney to his teammate, Ron Spring. So, you know, really unselfish player. But Walls' technique is unlike any corners I've ever coached. 67 interceptions. Can't argue with him.
It's amazing. Those 57 interceptions, they're 14th all time
yeah.
in NFL history. And he did, back in 2007, He did donate his kidney to former Cowboys teammate Ron Springs.
Did.
So Bill got to coach him with the Giants.
He did.
So he spent some time in the NFC East. But, I mean, I can't believe it. Four Pro Bowls, first team All-Pro, and his final year of Hall of Fame eligibility, he didn't make it past the cut down from 15 to 10. Yeah. So now Everson Walls to get in, he's got to wait and be selected through the whole senior committee.
Yeah.
And that's a shame.
I think Rick Goslin runs that thing now, that seniors committee.
Mm.
So Rick has done a great job of righting a lot of wrongs. So that's your hope
that
right
needs
there.
To be fixed.
Yeah. Rick's the Bob Hayes one, the Rayfield Wright, him, you know, Sharice Williams and those, you know, they've done a really, really good job of trying to make sure that a lot of these, you know, guys that kind of fall through the cracks in that way, that they bring back up. And not only just Cowboy guys, but yeah, other ones around the league.
No doubt.
I know, you know, with Claude Humphrey, McTinglehoff. I mean, there's been some other ones that have just, you know, that went by the wayside there.
McTinglehoff.
It's another example of Broadus just making up
that's
names.
A fantastic name.
Great center for the Minnesota Vikings.
This was before your scouting time, but what made it so unique watching Walls? Was it his footwork?
You know, it's funny. I walked by him yesterday and gave him a high five because he and I, we do shows at opposite.
Yeah,
you know,
he's still around the Cowboys
a
bit.
He comes by. He's got, when you look at how he's built, he's like a thin kind of guy still to this day, but like the long arm, you know, his ability for usually long limb guys can't turn. And that's why he didn't have great speed. Hmm. But his ability in that era where you could get up and jam and run with, and you could really get away with kind of being a bully on some of these receivers because of the bump and run technique, that really kind of saved him because his ability to jam and then turn, and it got him in position to where he was able to get up the field with receivers. And, you know, back then they didn't have receivers. They had some receivers that could run. Not like today. All these receivers seem like
not like 4.28 speed like we're getting these days.
But his length and ability to body position is what made him. He had great awareness too. He played outstanding. He was a great player at Grambling. You know, Eddie Robinson, legendary coach at
HBCU.
Grambling. Yeah, and so when you watched him play, you could tell that how physical he was and his ability to stay in route and stay connected was so impressive.
Incredible. I thought that was an awesome story right there from Bill, who and look, I mean, one of the best DB coaches and just defensive coaches ever. Yeah. To say that, the high praise for Everson Walls, get him in the Hall of Fame. I hope he makes it.
I mean, I think Cowboys fans should go watch highlights of Walls, just his ability to play the ball.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
the ball
skills. See, that's, I always make this, you know, this thing about the, you know, talking about with the Joneses and stuff. Before they bought the team in 1989, this was really an outstanding franchise. They had great players, you know, from like 1960 to 1989. They've had great players here. And there's a lot of these guys that are kind of falling through the cracks a little bit, not getting the recognition that they absolutely deserved. And that's why you need people, you know, in the Hall of Fame on these committees that are willing to kind of fight for these guys. And like you said, Dawson, hey, go watch him play. You know, we get to the point now, a lot of these voters, we've all seen most of these Hall of Fame guys play now. We've all seen Ed Reed and all. We've seen guys like this play.
The modern era guys.
Yeah, we've seen that. We understand it, man. But you, like when I was growing up, these dudes were the Ed Reeds and the Troy Polamalos and the.
They were the badasses.
They were the badasses, yeah.
Man. Saquon Barkley, one of the current badasses, and the Cowboys are going to have to go up against him on Sunday. But after the hurdle that is one of the best plays of the NFL season, the backwards hurdle that he had against Jacksonville, he immediately got the drug test. He let us all know. He revealed it on.
They ran it right down to him on the field, didn't they?
Yeah, they put
him
in the
sideline.
Can you pee in this cup, please?
Can you go to the blue tent, please?
You're a danger to everyone.
That was too cool. The 180 hurdle, like, this isn't normal. I don't believe that this is physically possible for a human being to be doing these things without performance enhancing drugs. And he immediately got the drug test. And I believe it came back negative.
Rightfully so. I mean, honestly, he should be a little bit. He should be a little bit disrespected if he didn't get the drug test in that moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, go ahead, test.
That's
me.
One of those, like, you already know, like, damn, I'm going to have that waiting for me in my locker as soon as I come downstairs.
The reaction.
Somewhere John Mara is just, like, in his office with his head on his desk, right?
Gosh, dang
the Giants.
It.
Just thinking about firing his general manager.
You don't think he was lost in the sauce of celebrating Daniel Jones's first passing touchdown at MetLife Stadium in almost two full calendar years.
Good point there. Yeah,
probably that, just confetti.
Probably overshadowed and, that. Yeah.
Yeah. But the sideline reaction, have you seen the sideline view after the reverse hurdle? As soon as he pulls it off, like you see all the Eagles players and just like the coaches, their reaction as just, they see it in real time. They're just like, they can't believe what they just saw.
That's craziness. It does appear that
finally Khalil, healthy.
He is healthy. And he's been healthy for a while, and he's on a good team with a good line.
This is Christian McCaffrey. This was our nightmare scenario that all of a sudden he was going to leave.
And stay healthy.
A bad organization, go to a good one, and then
he always gets hurt versus
healthy.
The Cowboys, doesn't it? It feels like every time the Giants and the Cowboys play,
I don't
want
to wish that on anybody. We get in trouble.
No, definitely not wishing it.
Definitely not wishing it at all.
Unfortunate reality of the game sometimes.
Well, Christian McCaffrey told Richard Sherman that he probably could have played against the Cowboys, but they held him out to be overly cautious. All signs, according to Sherm, are pointing to him playing and having a significant role against Tampa Bay. So it seems like CMC's going to be back and ready to rock.
They knew that George Kittle was going to draw a favorable matchup.
They didn't need him. They were ready to go.
I mean, if I'm the Niners, I'm not playing him for another 4 or 5 weeks.
Just try and keep him out as long as possible. The problem is now they're in just like, and we talked about it yesterday, they're in a dogfight for that division.
Yeah,
like everybody's just
like four
right
four.
On top of each other.
They're kind of fighting for a spot.
Yeah, they don't have the luxury. I'm with you. I think you want to try and wait till December, like a couple of tune-up games.
If you were
games,
Kansas City,
playoffs, man.
If you were
go
Kansas
now.
City undefeated, yeah, rest him, you know?
Right, exactly.
We got a fun one tonight, Thursday Night Football. It's Burrow against Lamar, Bengals, Ravens. They played a classic week 5 earlier this season.
Watching it right now.
Quarterbacks with a winning percentage above 750 once November comes in NFL history. Minimum 40 games played. This is since 2000. You got Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Brady. Also in the top 10 is Joe Burrow. So these are two guys that are pretty damn used to winning come November and December.
Yeah, late season wins and those close wins. It's funny how for most every quarterback or team, it evens out to 50-50. But the greats have a way of overachieving in these, you know, biggest games, biggest moments, closest games. You know, I know. And a lot of times that's, you know, the organizations win championships. That applied to Russell Wilson right before the broken hand. He was like Mr. Clutch in one score games. And that, you know, changed along with everything else that appeared about his game in the couple of weeks span.
Goodness me. Boy, did it change very, very quickly. Now, we earlier, NFL True or Four, we're talking about the Chargers, Justin Herbert. Does he have a chance to maybe be a second-half MVP? They're 5-3 entering the ninth game. Harbaugh today was talking about that middle eight. We talk about the middle eight
love
a lot.
The middle eight.
Michael Lombardi loves the middle eight.
That's Broadus,
I love
it.
The middle eight.
I learned it from him.
It's not working for the Cowboys this year.
No, the middle eight is not working well
middle
for
eight,
us right
not
now.
Working out, but the middle eight can also be,
if your
you know,
opponent, it's working out for you.
Your schedule? You need a middle eight in the schedule? Mm-hmm. Coach, take it away.
Yeah, the middle of the season is always critical that way. You know, like Bill Belichick talks about the middle eight in a football game. I mean, there's a middle eight in a season too. You could break it down, you know, that way. You know, 6, 7, 8, 9. I mean, those are important games. You know, the only joke I know is why was 6 afraid of 7? Because 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
6, 7, 8, 9. Those are big games.
Wow.
That Warren coming up.
It's amazing.
Legend.
Coach Harbaugh.
Somebody should just laugh for him, right? Shouldn't you give him a laugh?
You would have been. No. You would have given him that
give him
pity
a laugh.
Give him
the because I'm a 60-year-old man laugh. I'd
have
given
him a laugh.
Yeah, coach.
Let him have a laugh.
Yeah, I'd give him a laugh.
Have a laugh.
Acknowledge he tried a joke.
The knee slapper that it was.
I would smile.
150 years ago.
Exactly.
7, 8, 9.
There you go.
That's a good one.
Got him.
That's a good one.
Lucius has figured it out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Just make him feel good about himself.
Good job, coach.
Carolina's trying to do that. Bryce Young is going to receive his third consecutive start in Germany against the Giants. So it will be Bryce Young, and it will be Danny Dimes.
Got a chance to win this one.
They
Carolina.
Do. They do. No Jonathan Mingo, though. That's going to hurt
week.
Them.
Two, how about a two-game winning streak?
Just stack them. Hey, Jonathan Mingo looks good in his 81 out there with the Cowboys today. First practice with the
there
team.
Johnny Mingo.
He's
6'2", 220. Yeah. I hope he looks
good.
Good.
He's going with that shotgun, boy.
He looked good. Now, how about this is an awesome story. You guys heard this Colts?
We'll debate that.
The Colts fan, the super fan. He makes a song every week. Colts song every week.
This is our team.
This is, yes. Okay, if you don't know what I'm talking about.
We bleed blue.
We do this at the Rams. This is our team?
Well, this is the Colts.
This is our house.
This is the Colts every single week. We have a new Colts song, and here is our Colts fan singing said song.
Yo, this is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Texans. Horns down on Stroud's turf. This is our team. Go Colts!
Wow.
I love that. Yeah. The nay at the end, it sets it off. His name is Seth. He is a Colts super fan, and that anthem has awarded him Fan of the Year, and he is now going to get to go to the Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Only, but he has to. They're going to do this thing where he has to do the horse sound. Like everywhere he goes, he's going to have to do the horse sound.
It's
he's
going
to be sick of it. Yeah,
nay.
They're doing like some nay bit with him. Pete is getting
so he's
involved.
Fan of the Year. Well, congratulations.
He is the
sounds
fan
like
of the
he's
year.
Getting exploited to me.
Congratulations to Seth.
Wolchuk does a pretty good limited fake horse, don't you, Wolchuk?
Yeah.
No, but do it with like try though.
Nay.
It's not like a Clydesdale.
Maybe not his top talent.
It's not my thing.
I kind of wanted to cancel him for bringing horns down to pro football, you know?
I'm yeah, that was kind of rude. That probably should have been a 15-yard penalty, and we need to get him out of here. Brian, you'd be really happy. The National
not of that.
Not, well, you didn't like the Colts song?
Bro, can you give us an A?
God, I'm sick of this one.
Hey.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Damn,
okay.
Dawson.
General's changing it up.
I figured somebody in here would have this thing down.
You got one?
Thank you.
Oh, that was good.
That sounds like Scooby-Doo.
Lucius is the ranch man in the house. What do we got here?
Oh, shoot, man. I got nothing.
About a horse about ready to stud there for a minute. What was going on?
That was better.
I like that.
Study horse.
Nah, I have nothing. I've got nothing here.
Last thing for NFL news.
I'm going to delete all of that too in the post too.
No, leave that. Leave that. That was good. That was good.
All that.
I liked it.
My God.
This is the first time in 23 years that every NFL team has made it through the trade deadline while still holding on to their first round picks.
Yeah.
So they're valuing the first rounders now more
so
than ever. Draft matters, right? And there's your NFL news of the day.
Thank you, Bully.
Yeah.
Time for a C-note. Cowboys news of the evening is Dak getting the apology he is owed and more coming up next here on The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Segments brought to you by Soda, that's state of the art. It's time now for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. Have a couple of cuts here. We're going to hear the latest from James Jones in just a second. We're going to start, though, with Jordan Phillips, defensive tackle. He is back with the Buffalo Bills, and reporters asked him what it was like.
Most because I'm a quiet taste, and they like my taste. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Seeing the smiles and being actually wanted is a hell of a drug. You know what I mean? You can do a lot for people when it's in the right environment.
So he's saying, like, maybe he didn't feel like he was one of the guys. Maybe he didn't fit in with the Cowboys. Now he's back with the Bills and expects to, you know, play better as a result of feeling wanted, Brian.
Yeah, I was way wrong about his playing ability, I guess, for this football team. So, you know, that's disappointing because I just have a feeling that he's going to go to Buffalo and he's going to kind of find his game again if that's the case. But, you know, he...
I feel like great leadership would make new guys feel welcome.
I don't... Like I'd say, have a committee I don't know what's totally going on in that locker room and stuff. And he said, even he admitted, he goes, I'm an acquired taste.
Yeah.
So he kind of even said that about himself. I don't know the player personally. I just know watching him play, I thought he could help this team.
Yeah.
But...
Well, and you said something was off. I mean, the performance here did not match what he had put on tape, and maybe it's a guy that just needs to feel comfortable. Yeah. Like, you know, he's around bros.
I also think it could be fair that the 350-pounder at 32 years old just sort of aged overnight.
Yeah, no doubt. We got to see him play a couple games here.
Very likely could have, and they clearly were not happy with his performance against New Orleans immediately after they put him on IR.
Yeah.
And he was outspoken and said, I don't have a wrist injury. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm very fine. So it just seemed like there was friction here from the beginning.
He hurt that wrist, and had after the Dallas game when he, you know, a couple of years or last year. And so they were, you know, thinking about that. That was something that he was dealing with. But I could say that that's one of those things when you're evaluating it, it shakes you a little bit because you saw that player and you thought, man, this guy, he could do it. He's got, you know, he got three technique ability. He could play the one potentially.
Well, age happens.
Yeah,
you wake up washed up sometimes.
Yeah, maybe so. We'll see at Buffalo what happens to
him. Probably end up being pretty good again in Buffalo.
I'm going to check
that. I'm not going to give the benefit to the Cowboys.
I'm going to check that tape when it comes out. I'm just going to go take a peek. Yeah.
I wonder how many other guys over there can play a little bit. Like, can Mozzie play? They just don't know how to make him comfortable and put him in the right role. Maybe that's a reach.
Well,
that's extreme.
I think that might be the case.
Let's dump that one.
Might be the case with your right tackle.
Good check swing by you.
Thank you. It was a heat check as well. Yeah. What's that, Brian?
Might be the right tackle. I mean, you know, Joe Philbin. You know, with not you know, like when Joe Philbin, like, you know, the right tackle is not as good as he once was. And, you know, he's coming off some injuries and stuff like that. But he's regressed some as a player. Your right guard has gotten older. Your center's a rookie. Your left guard, I don't know if Joe Philbin really wanted him, you know, wanted Smith. I think the scouts had to kind of push along that way. I'm sure I'll get a text here in a minute. Somebody tell me I'm full of S.
Starting to look like Zach Martin retired last February, though.
I think Zach Martin was starting to talk about it, and he knew that maybe, you know, maybe we should have listened to Zach Martin when he told us that, you know, I don't know, we'll see, this might be, you never know, that kind of.
Especially if you kind of feel like the team's not going to be that good.
Well, his body's breaking down on him.
Well, this is going to be tough.
He's still got a shoulder injury, too, that's been reported today.
This is going to be tough, because at 3:40 today, I'm going to walk you through what it's like to have to deal with this Philadelphia, these tackles.
What's the extent of the shoulder you were just mentioning, Wolchuk?
Yeah, he didn't practice again for the second straight day. And at least Todd Archer said the media portion, you know, he's been dealing with a shoulder injury among other things.
James Jones has been, he's been reckless with his mouth and his tone
he's
about Dak Prescott.
He's usually a Dak supporter, which is really strange.
The former Packers wide receiver got sideways saying that, you know, Dak just quit. Because he, you know, was getting whooped so bad, and he's updated his comments. Here's James.
Hey,
Jones.
Did you want me? I see there's two clips in here. You guys want me to play the first James Jones where he did come up out of?
If people don't know what
context.
James Jones was saying, he said he was quitting, and then he went on to talk about this.
Is it off the bone or something? Because there's no way you're telling me that you're out 4 weeks with no answers, no nothing, no fight, no nothing for a hamstring, and you're a quarterback. There ain't no way. Drop back, get the ball out. Your hamstring don't got to be 100% at the quarterback spot. Dak Prescott is quitting on these boys, man. If I was on Dak's team and I seen him in the locker room, I would walk by him in the track.
Yeah, right. You're right. No, you're right. You're right.
Oh, Shady McCoy.
Good to see you, dog.
With him,
and keep pushing.
Good morning.
I know.
Like that.
Yeah. We know. We've been in the facility. We know when dudes is hurt and really can't go, and we know when dudes is messing around.
So he's saying play through a hammy. Mm. The news came out yesterday, hamstring avulsion. Here's James Jones updating his thoughts.
Television criticism
to me.
Deserves a television apology.
Oh, right.
You can't criticize on TV and then tweet. Not in the facility.
You're the national television.
If you criticize on TV, you should apologize on TV. So James Jones, here in the facility, you know what we do. We apologize, sir.
Yeah.
You got the floor.
Now that I know the severity of the injury,
and it being off the bone, my bad. Because I did jump the gun. I did not have the reports. I did not know the injury. I'm going off of my experience with the injury, my experience of how it happened, all that. Now I know the severity of the injury. Mine wasn't off the bone. All right, Dak Prescott, you seen my tweet? James, my bad, dog.
Respect.
Yeah, I mean, to man up and apologize, but
where's McCoy's apology? Did he?
Shady ain't gonna apologize, man.
He
didn't
apologize about that.
Maybe he did his own
he's
Twitter.
A hater.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, be better. You know, I'm disappointed that anybody would think less of Dak. You know, I know a couple of weeks ago I mentioned the term LARPing as an insider.
Yeah.
I think this is LARPing as a former player analyst. You're just not paying enough attention to even have that thought about Dak Prescott.
Yeah, to ever consider
that show
that
doesn't pay attention.
Yeah, it's just a bad take.
Yeah. They're having fun though. Yeah, they're having fun. I mean, I don't begrudge them for that. You know,
The fun part's great, but I mean, I can say it's not one of my favorite shows.
You got to be careful when you're talking about injuries, man. There's a lot that if you don't know for sure, you probably should just stay away with the injury stuff.
Yes, you know, not everybody can be a doctor on the radio like me, Wolchuk.
I know.
You know.
Well, the reason I don't like that show is I thought Dave Hellman was doing a hell of a job on that show.
Yeah.
And I thought he brought some really good insight, not just about the Cowboys, but overall. And Dave's a friend of all of ours, you know. But they just like, yeah.
Blew him out.
Trash. Yeah, like, yeah. You're a bunch of
players. You're not a former player loose cannon. Yeah, you're not
a former player loose cannon guy. Like, at least Dave would have found out if something was really wrong with Dak.
Yeah.
And he would have come on the show and said, listen, guys, hey, you know, I know we have a lot of thoughts about Dak and we really don't like him that much, but he tore his hamstring off his tendon, you know, and now there's an educated opinion on that show.
Where's the journalism gone? You know,
they've moved. This is a new show. The facility that they've done, and it's only players. It's players only that they've created. Yeah. So it's Emmanuel Acho, LeSean McCoy, James Jones, and Chase Daniels. So they won't allow a Dave Hellman
a journalist in there. Yeah, you know, and that's fine. I don't think it's that hard to do. You know, as long as you know, you're being fair to my guy Dak Prescott. You know, yeah. I guess, you know, it's only been 9 years of his career where the guy has been beyond reproach when it comes to his intangibles and leadership. We can talk about his ability to throw the ball accurately,
right?
You know, or his decision making.
If you want to do that all day, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay, we go to the Twitter account of John Mishota has a quote here from Trey Lance. I'd love the opportunity to get on the field any way I can. If that's what coach thinks is best, I feel like I'm in a real good spot right now. Does he feel confident to run the offense? He says absolutely.
Yeah.
And he was asked how high confidence the level is, and he said as high as it can get. So I think that'd be fun. It would probably mean that the season is, you know, beyond saving at that point. And I don't expect Trey Lance to be out there until they've kind of like been, I guess, mathematically eliminated from playoff contention.
Get you there probably.
Do you think now with this running game, with the pass rusher coming back, there's any chance here of keeping this thing alive? Is this like a laughable pipe dream or somewhat realistic if you're the Cowboys leadership right now?
I lean laughable pipe dream.
You have to believe, but yeah, it's very, very hard. You'd have to squint really hard to see the path there to winning. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to believe inside the building?
No, nope. You absolutely have to.
You do. Yeah. If you're
absolutely
someone that
have
is,
to. Yes, yeah. You have to. You have to go to work every day. All those 5-11s, I went to work every day thinking that we were going to get this thing right, and we never did.
Shireen Williams says, I think Cooper Rush starts the next two games. Jerry Jones sees Eagles and Texans as rivals. Wants best chance to beat them. If they lose, then I think he pulls the plug and sees what he has in Trey Lance. They need to see him play, says, you know, it makes sense to, if you acquire him, you say the development's going well, to at least give him a shot.
Yeah, you need him to play well for the chance of him signing somewhere and you getting compensatory out of this, or unless your intent is to try and make him your backup quarterback. That's what you need. If, you know, now you're going to make the determination. If he plays so well, then he's probably going to be somebody else's.
Play against Carolina and have him turn it loose.
And if he plays well, then you get a comp pick. So I guess that's
what
win.
I'm saying.
That's
like,
a win.
Yeah, if he plays really well, somebody's going to step up and say, well, yeah, here's a guy that we can, you know, young guy, we thought he could play, and now he's playing, and we've seen him on, you know, we feel like things are going to go the right way. In Dallas's case, they're probably looking at this like, if he plays really well and goes somewhere, We need the comp pick.
Mike,
Dallas Cowboys.com, a lot of them. I've heard, like, Nick Harris talked about this. I know he's with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram now, but Yarish on today, Tommy Yarish, the new guy with Sean and RJ. Sounds like they might give Lance some opportunities to just, like, have packages for him. So I don't know if that will happen, but
you got 26 coaches over there.
There's a lot of that.
You know, I hope they've got him ready. You know, there's probably an assistant to the assistant that needed to be out there on the field after practice was over and working Trey Lance through some drills and stuff like that and playing mock games with him and stuff.
Yeah, Kyle Yeoman seemed to think, like, let's open this thing up now.
All right, let's open this thing up to a review of the Eagles' defense as we have Krusty's Corner coming up next, Brian. Where are we heading?
Yeah, that's exactly where we're going. There's some things that you maybe can look at, maybe take advantage of. We'll talk about those next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, and time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Thanks very much to Reliant as well for being a part of this broadcast. Philadelphia defense. When you guys think of Philadelphia defense, something that comes to mind? Zach, is there anything that...
Georgia comes to mind.
A lot
of Georgia Bulldogs, but they definitely have built up their defensive line over the years.
Yeah.
And Jalen Carter, I thought, was the best player in that draft a year ago. I think he's starting to really come on. So you usually would think of, like, maybe some pass rush. But Bryce Huff, who they traded for, has not been very good for them.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a problem for the Eagles. Chief, when you I ask the guys, when you think of the Eagles on defense, what do you think of?
I think the first thing that generally comes to mind is pass rush. And then I'm kind of thinking about the rookie corner. In particular, Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah.
He's damn good.
He's been really, really good.
They got a couple of rookies that play back there.
Old DeJean.
Yeah, Cooper DeJean. Yeah.
Is he looking pretty good?
Yeah, and what's happened is that he's taken over for Maddox, who used to play the nickel for them, and they've done a pretty good job with him. He's I was thinking, like, that maybe that they would give him a little bit more of a run, more of an opportunity to kind of develop, but they've thrown him out there and the kids played pretty well. That'll be a good matchup. That'll be a really good matchup, whoever plays slot for the Cowboys. Cowboys need to do a better job. Last week we talked about their ability to maybe, you know, win in the slot, and, you know, just didn't have the production that they needed from. But the Eagles, to me, they want to beat you up front, and they want to beat you up with their defensive tackles. That's what they're really – that's when you look at Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter and Milton Williams, these guys are – they want to – that's – they get pressure. And they've got 14 sacks in the last four games as a unit. But what's interesting is – the offenses you've been dealing with were Cleveland, the Giants, Cincinnati, and Jacksonville.
Awful.
8 sacks against the Giants, you know, the 14. So, but they've struggled with some of their pressures, believe it or not. But they really, really rely on their front because they're not going to blitz a whole lot. And so they really rely on their front to be able to control you, both in the running game and then in the passing game.
It's the Dick Fangio special.
Yeah, they're, you know, here's something, you know, to think about if you're the Cowboys and you're talking about potentially how do you run the ball. And I was watching, the way I could set up my next gen film is I could say, give me all the explosives. I want to see how they're giving up.
Plays.
They're giving up plays in the running game. And what's happened is they play light box. And then, you know, only the Chargers play more light box than the Eagles. So that's six or less defenders.
Yeah, inviting you to run the football.
They're inviting you to run the football. And where these explosives have come from is they've been off the edge. And I've seen on film both it from under center taking snaps and then the shotgun. And It's kind of like one of those things, like I'm thinking, okay, where are they attacking? Where are they going? The edges where everybody's going. And so what's really kind of unique about this group is that you mentioned Josh Sweat, or I mentioned now Josh Sweat, and then Bryce Huff.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting about these two guys as you watch them play and the ball's going off the edges is that opponents have been averaging 5.3 yards a carry against those two guys in the game. But when they're off, it's only been 3.6.
So Nolan Smith's been better.
Nolan Smith, Graham. So maybe when you get Huff and Sweat, who are their starters on the field, maybe that's your opportunity with Graham and others. It's Smith. Maybe now Graham's their best run defender when it comes to down linemen,
mm-hmm.
because he's a thick guy. He's
veteran edge setter.
Veteran edge setter. But that's the thing, because when he's on the field, opponents have only averaged 3.4 yards a carry. So he's a kind of a setter of that edge for you. But if the Cowboys, like I say, take advantage if you can, if you want to try and run the football in this game, of Josh Sweat and Bryce Huff, because they're interested to getting up the field.
Well, you'll definitely get chances against Sweat. He plays the most amount of any of their edge rushers. The problem is Huff is playing less and less as the season's gone on. He just had a low in snaps. Yeah. He's playing just 40%. Sirianni actually said this week, Jalix Hunt, the rookie, who we liked a lot on the draft show,
sure did.
They might try to mix him in some more.
Yeah, he's number 58, but you just, like you say, these explosives. You know, you're watching the get under center, they hand it, the ball gets to the edge. You know, the Falcons, the Pack. I mean, there's teams
those are the marks right there. If they're on the field, take advantage.
Yeah, I'm always looking for somebody, like, who can I attack?
Yeah, but the Falcons and the Packers are professional outside zone teams.
Yeah, and okay, this is where Dalvin Cook to me comes. You've got Dalvin Cook as an outside zone kind of runner. He's used to that. Inside stuff's really not. Everything to the edge has been kind of Dalvin Cook's. That's where he's made a living. So I wonder if these one of these games, him, maybe Rico Dowdle, can you get the ball to the edge and try and make the Eagles have to do it? Like, running inside against these guys is not because of their size.
A lot of beef.
Yeah, with Davis and Carter and Williams. They got some big, massive guys inside. People have kind of pinned them inside and then been able to, you know, you get the linebackers, their leading tackler is Zach Bond, who is one of the inside linebackers. And N'Kobe Dean is a shorter, smaller guy. Now, Dallas has struggled all year to get anybody up, but these linebackers have overrun plays. So I'm kind of looking at this you're trying to help. Anyway, how do you help Cooper Rush? Can you find a way to get the ball to the outside and make the Eagles have to pay for that a little bit? Because if they're going to play light box, that's where Dallas has had some success running the ball. When teams have only put six, because nobody respects their run at all. So keep an eye on that. I talked about these tackles. Carter, he's got 3 sacks. Williams has 3 sacks, or excuse me, 2 sacks. But if you look at their overall pressure as a team, and because you could see it, they're right at about 32% pressure rate. So they really haven't, which makes them about mid-pack.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that the Eagles in the past, you know, the Eagles were all about pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. The best part of their pass rush has been through the middle of their defense. Mm-hmm. Now, can Smith, BB, Martin, see, now we have to start to worry about Zach Martin. Can Zach Martin hold up, you know, against Davis and Carter and Williams and those guys?
It's hard to bet on that right now.
Now you're dealing with a bum shoulder. He's had the back. I mean, he's a shell of himself.
And
right
that's
now.
The kind of pressure that bothers Dak more, isn't it?
Up
the middle pressure.
Cooper. We're going to see Cooper Rush, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, but
I mean, get the ball.
It really bothers to your point, all quarterbacks
more.
Because even look at, you know, we were talking about, if you watch Tampa Bay play against Philly, Hurts and there's be all the Philly fans are watching our shows and they're all commenting like, well, that's a game we didn't have in here. Well, your line still blocked poorly in that game. You didn't.
Vita Vea had a hell of a performance.
Yeah, the eye level of the quarterback came way down in that game. You know, even though they didn't, I get it. You didn't have some of your guys. Well, Dallas doesn't have their guys either. You know, this is going to be a pretty.
But they're not getting it off the edge like they were a couple of years ago when they had like 70 sacks.
No.
Guyton's still going to be okay?
They're not. And that's kind of where, yeah, that's, you know, to me, I like say, Huff playing less. We'll see with what happens with Hunt. You know, I think with Sweat, they're going to line Sweat up over. I think they're going to put him over Guyton, is who I think they're going to rush. Now he will rush. He'll flip sides, but a lot of times though he'll stay on one side. But I've seen him move, switch some sides up a little bit. I just have a feeling that I think Guyton will draw.
Guyton can put him on his ass a little bit.
Yeah, I think Guyton like will draw Sweat, and then I think that Huff will be over. Now they might think that the Eagles might look at this tape and say, Steele's the guy you attack, you know, and then keep Sweat on that side and let him rush.
I'd try both of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But if they can hold up against this rush, their opportunities on the backside to make big plays.
Well, this is where they're. I think that the secondary they've got young guys, as we mentioned, Mitchell at the right corner, DeJean, he's playing the nickel. They got Maddox out of there. Maddox was a little bit of a liability. Slay has been injured with a groin injury.
He's back and limited okay. in practice.
Isaiah Rogers has been the one that's been started for him against Jacksonville last week. And I think these corners are actually pretty good. I think these corners are, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge with dealing with them. I think even at the nickel. Where I like a potential matchup, CJ Gardner-Johnson. He's when you watch him play, some big plays have been made on him. He's given up 12 receptions this year. Four of them have been for touchdowns.
Wow.
That's not good. And what will happen is that Vic Fangio will walk him down and put him in coverage, like on a receiver. It ain't like, oh, go cover a tight end. It's go cover this wide receiver in the slot or go cover this, you know, this back in the slot. To me, if I'm the Cowboys, automatically, if number 8 is in coverage, I walk up to the line and I see that Gardner Johnson is in coverage in this game, I'm throwing the ball his direction. I don't think he's got it, – it's a little bit like what you deal with Wilson here. And that kind of where you
– Wow.
The coverage is not very tight. It's not very fluid. And I've seen some teams make some plays. So if I'm Cooper Rush, I'm thinking about keeping my run game checks on if we're dealing with these edges, Huff and Sweat. And then I'm thinking about, okay, how can I find my guy on CJ Gardner-Johnson, the safety? That would be an area that I would try and play in this football game.
Terrific report once again, sir. He's done it. Brian brought us Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. All righty. Ari Temkin, Big 12 Radio on the TuneIn app, is going to join us and talk to us about all the biggest college football storylines that's coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.